Every child has the right to the same education as the students that are sitting in front of you right now. And so I think that would be my biggest thing is just making sure that that was, an automatic part of every educator, making sure that we are all, when I do my trainings, I always say every student remembers the teacher that made them feel the worst and the teacher that made them feel the best. And which one do you want to be in their life? Right.
Oh, great. That's really good. I like that. Because you say that and I go, yep, I remember that one, but I really remember that one. And that, yeah, it's whew,
And I can
good,
tell you
good.
right
That's
now,
powerful. That is powerful.
and I can tell you right now that my favorite teacher wasn't my favorite teacher because we hit every single teek that year. That's not so, teach, making sure that we're teaching the student and not the curriculum is another big thing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is April Harris. April is the special education coordinator at Meridian World School, which is a part of the International Baccalaureate World Schools. Wow, that's really cool. And they are in Round Rock, Texas. And if you don't know where that is, it is northeast of Austin. April, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell everybody about a Meridian World School and what your role is there.
Yeah, so we are a public charter school, and my role here is the special education coordinator. So I basically think of me as kind of the lifeline for our case managers and our support team. So I oversee the schedules, making sure that all of our students receive the services that they need. Provide that training and support to students. I also take care of our behavior program. So I do all of our functional behavior assessments and create our behavior intervention plans and work on all of that. So
You're
lots of
busy.
hats.
Yes, you're a busy, busy woman. You are definitely. So what would you say is one of your biggest challenges right now in education?
I would say for sure the biggest challenge that we have is teacher retention. Unfortunately, as you know, right now in the education climate, we're just not getting paid. And so we see a lot of our teachers are really good qualified teachers leaving because they can't afford to stay in the industry. And, I have really good friends that it was heartbreaking. It was a heartbreaking decision for them. But
And they're
when
not just leaving where you are, they're leaving education, right?
leaving education completely. And it's very hard because when you go into education, you go into it usually because you have the heart for working for the students. But when it reaches that point where you have to decide between staying where your heart is and putting food on your table. Unfortunately, a lot of people have had to make that very difficult decision. So I would say, without a doubt that that's the biggest challenge that we face, is just keeping the teachers, not because they don't want to be here, but because they just simply can't afford to stay. So.
I get it. I get it. It's something that touches all of us, whether we realize it's touching it or us or not. And that's the point, the point of this podcast is to get those needs out there, right? It's something that, so what is your biggest joy?
For me, it's always been the students. I am very student-centered. That is one of the things that I bring to every role that I've had, and my resume is quite extensive just because I have always kind of moved into the places where I felt like I was being, led to, whether it be because of campus needs or just what I felt that tugging to be a part of. So I actually started out in general education, in primary, and then, I went to working online for a little bit when my boys were younger. And during that time, I was slowly getting my foot back into the door at the area schools, just substituting while I was also doing the teaching online. And I was getting more and more requests to do special education, and that's when I realized that that's really where my heart was. And so I went back, got my certification in special education, and then dove full force in and went to a residential treatment center where I was in a self-contained behavior classroom for 5 years.
And wow. That's good. That's awesome.
Throughout all of it, you know, it's always been about the kids. It's about to watch their growth, creating those relationships, working with parents, and making sure that we are united so that the success is evident, you know, there's evidence of success, right?
For sure.
But that's absolutely the reason that I stay, is because, you know, I just really enjoy working with the kids. And in special education, those victories can seem small, you know, but sometimes it's like, hey, you know, they wrote two sentences last week and they wrote three this week, you know, but that's still, those victories are what make it all worth it.
Oh my goodness. You're talking to my heart. That's for sure. Because I'm a speech pathologist of 31 years and they said the word right. They said the sound right.
Right.
30%. Now it's 40%. Now it's, you know, and at the word level, it's, you know, same thing. You just,
absolutely.
And you cheer them on. You just cheer them on as they go. And, I totally get it. And as Lighthouses, that's our mission here is, and we live our mission. We really do, is to be a therapy company run by therapists for therapists, but bottom line, for the betterment of students. That's the bottom line of everything we do, is taking care of the kids. Absolutely. And how do we do that? We do that by taking care of the therapists. And now we're actually jumping into special education teachers as well. So we're not going to change our mission statement, but you know, it's about the kids. You know, and we tell people we've got our customers are the schools, but they're also the therapists, but they always come together. And the reason that we're here is because of those beautiful children that we are here to serve. So, you know, preaching to the choir. So, and I love it. You know, you just love human beings, and when the kids win, we win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was actually talking the other day, about a student that we had a few years ago, but we're just talking about the successes that we saw. And, you know, when, she first came to us, it was constantly, you know, cussing those teachers out or crumpling up the papers and throwing them away. And I'll never forget the day that she crumpled her paper up like she usually does and threw it in the trash can, but then walked over, took it out of the trash can and like flattened it, you know. And I thought, those are the types of victories that make all of that hard work that it leads up to that so worth it. When you finally get to say, okay, like we're getting somewhere, you know, and training other staff to recognize and see the victory in that and not focus on the, well, she did still crumple up her paper and she still did throw it in the trash can, but she corrected that behavior, right?
Yeah.
But that's what
on her own, right? On her own.
Not prompted. So that's a victory, and we need to celebrate that victory. And that is what motivates them to continue to go on that track of corrective behaviors, is when they feel like it's worth it, right? When they feel like and acknowledged, and when they feel like there's been some level of respect shown to them. So
what advice would you give to somebody you're in a leadership role, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, somebody that's new, that is coming into education and wants to step into leadership, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing is there are three main things that I think I would tell them. And I'd actually tell my whole staff this. And that reminder is, one, family first, because that tends to be a difficult balance in education. We tend to fall into that guilt of we have to be on all the time. You know, we have to make sure that when we get home, we're grading papers. We can't let, and we tend to put our lives and our families second. And so, that balance, that work life balance, is very difficult in education.
Yeah. Otherwise you're going to burn out.
My big thing is make sure you figure out how to balance that. And, and time management is a big part of that. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
But that's a huge part of it. But then also mental health. Your mental health, if you're not in a good place, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Right.
And when you're in an education role, in a leadership role in education, it's a lot, right? And so, and you are pretty consistently from the time you get to the campus to the time you leave. And even after, you're getting requests and needing people who need that support. And so you've got to make sure that you're keeping your mental health as a priority. And then the third thing, I always want to make sure that in leadership, we don't lose sight of why we're here. Mm-hmm. And we're here for the kids. And so as a leader, you know, instead of getting into any kind of battles over what you believe is right versus what somebody else may believe is correct, coming back to the table and looking at the whole picture and making sure that we're staying student-centered and that it doesn't become a battle of who's right or who's wrong, but instead this is what is truly best for the student. And we need to make sure that we are keeping that as our focus. Because in leadership, you know, you're going to have, you know, I have a team of 38 staff members that I work with. We don't all see eye to eye on
No, of course not, right?
Yeah. On anything, you know, mm-hmm. in regards to, you know, even when it comes to what is best for the student. But really making sure that that stays at the center, at the focus, and not getting caught up in, you know, who's right, who's wrong. You know, I'm the leader here. I'm going to make that final call. Yeah. You know, keeping in mind that the case managers are the ones that are, you know, they're in the classrooms. They are, they're the ones who I've called the boots on the ground, right? They're the ones that are there all day working with them. And so making sure that they feel respected and heard is important.
Yeah, I always tell people, I always tell my staff too, when there's a conflict with a school or something happened, there are as many interpretations as there are people in the room. Because everybody comes at it from their perspective, from their worldview, from their background, from the whatever it is, something may have triggered something. So many times it's not even anything that the therapist said, as it just is how it was interpreted by a parent or how it was interpreted by somebody. And, you know, once that relationship is broken, we're not a company that will continue to force, you know, no, you have to, because it doesn't solve anything. And when you talk about for the betterment of students, it has to be for the betterment of students. So, and if they did something wrong, I will absolutely coach my people. You have to.
Sure.
And you have to accept that. You have to accept that sometimes your people are going to make mistakes, but you learn from those mistakes and you move forward. And I always tell people, I'm like, the first thing I always say is, because I'm a business owner and our schools are our customers, but I'm sorry that happened, and let's figure out how to make it better, and you know, help me to understand what happened, because I wasn't there. You know, I'm not the one who was there. So we've done a lot of training on conflict resolution, and we actually put a series out on conflict resolution. And so it's really, that's so much of what you're talking about, is just understanding and active listening, right? Being an active listener. Absolutely. And understanding and bringing people to the table. Yeah. Because you can't get it.
Exactly. Remembering that we all come from different experiences. And, you know, I think about, because when I first got here, I came from a very intensive, you know, my classroom was a, you know, therapeutic trauma-informed classroom. And we worked, I was there at the RTC. And so we worked very closely with the therapist there. And so for me, behavior looks very different, right? Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, versus when I came here, you know, we have this amazing group of kids. And so what some staff saw as like very concerning extreme behaviors, I didn't blink an eye at, right?
Right. Yeah. So I can tell you what behavior is.
Yeah. You know, I haven't been spit on yet, so I think I'm okay. But in all seriousness, that really is something you have to take into consideration. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, of course.
We all come from different experiences, even though we're all educators, you know, all you've ever known is an environment like the one that I'm in right now, what seemed like nothing to me is going to be a big behavior, because that's not something that you've dealt with on a regular basis. And so that is a huge part of when you're coming together with your team and making sure that they feel seen and heard, is that you're not quick to be like, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You have to validate their feelings. You really
absolutely
do. They're their feelings. So you can't just poo-poo them away.
Yeah. Right.
And if you do, you've lost. You've lost the battle before it's even begun when you do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's a big part of, I'm kind of circling back to what the biggest issue is the retention, you know, mm-hmm. people aren't going to, it's hard enough to keep people in education, and they're definitely not going to stay somewhere where they don't feel respected and they don't feel heard. And so that's a huge piece right now of leadership, is just making sure that your team feels like, you know, hey, I am supported here, and
there's not enough teachers. There's not enough therapists, you know, and we actually have an 81% retention rate because of exactly what you're talking about, you know, making sure that they're taken care of, making sure that they're heard, making sure that they have somebody to go to, and, you know, everybody's going to have a bad day. So, you know, and a bad day isn't the end all be all. We move on and we go forward and we continue, and they love their kids. You know, that's the bottom line of all of it is this is the next generation, right? We're teaching the next generation.
Yeah. And overall our retention rate is probably higher than most schools in the area. But part of that is, you know, we're able to fall because we're a K-12 continuum. You can follow your kids. And so,
nice.
You know, like I was a staff member that every year it's like, I think this is going to be my last year. You know, I think I'm going to retire after this. And then it's like, well, no, actually I'm going to wait until this group graduates. But when you're watching these same kids from year to year to year.
Yeah.
Those connections with the kids and the families, you know, it really does help. It helps a lot. So.
My kids, we're a family company, so my kids always say, we're going to have a coup to get you to retire. I said, no, nope, just give me grandkids and then I'll retire. They haven't done it yet, but eventually, you know, I figure I got 7 more years at least, at a minimum. And my daughter, who I'm grooming to take over for me, she's been with me since day one. And, you know, she's a little mini me. She always jokes we haven't cut the umbilical cord yet because we're so alike. But she, I know she'll do a great job, but I'm also putting people around her to support her. And I said, what's going to happen is I'm not going to like be here one day and gone the next. It's going to be a gradual process of me stepping back after, but you know, give me 8 years. I'm not doing anything till I'm 65 at least.
Right.
So, you know, Well, and I'm fighting it with all I can with the hair dye and whatever. It's gray. So funny.
Try to fight that as long as I can. This blonde is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mine is always, you start showing in on the temples, you know, and in men, that is distinguished. But us women, my husband teased me and told me I was getting racing stripes when I would pull my hair back. And that was the end of it 10 years ago. I've been dyeing my hair ever since. I was like, oh, it's your fault because you teased me about racing stripes. Oh, goodness. Anyway. Okay. I have one last question. I ask this to every one of my podcast guests. I've missed two, but for most of them, they've been asked. So the question is, if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
Wow. If I can miraculously solve one challenge, I think my biggest thing is I go back to, honestly, I'm going to kind of step back and say this before I answer my question completely. The level of inclusion that we have at the school is amazing. That's one of the reasons I stay here, is that there is a heavy focus on making sure that every student feels safe and welcomed. And that is a big part of it. And a huge reason why I've been here for 7 years and I don't have any intention of going anywhere else at this point. But having said that, there is still that challenge of making sure that when we have new staff coming in, that they know and understand our culture here, making sure that that continues. And that just requires a lot of training, right? But I think that if I could solve one challenge, it would be that wouldn't be, you know, a yearly battle of, you know, every child belongs in your classroom.
Right.
Every child has the right to the same education as the students that, you know, are sitting in front of you right now. And so I think that would be my biggest thing, is just making sure that that was, you know, an automatic part of every educator, you know. So making sure that we are all, when I do my trainings, I always say every student remembers the teacher that made them feel the worst and the teacher that made them feel the best. And which one do you want to be in their life?
Oh, great. That's really good. I like that. Because you say that and I go, yep, I remember that one. Mm-hmm. But I really remember that one. And that's powerful. That is powerful.
And I can tell you right now that my favorite teacher wasn't my favorite teacher because we hit every single teak that year. making sure that we're teaching the student and not the curriculum is another big thing.
That's good too. You have some really good comments, really good statements. I can tell you've been doing this a while. So, we are definitely out of time, but thank you so much, April. This has been an amazing conversation. It really has. I've enjoyed talking with you. Your heart is very evident and I love that. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about April Harris or Meridian World School?
So, our website is meridianworldschool.com. meridianworldschool.org. And, of course, my bio is on there, but, I am, like I said, I've been in education. This is my 25th year. So, there are plenty of people out there that have probably experienced me, throughout that time. And so, which is just an awesome thing to run into students and, that are now having their own kids and all of that.
Yeah, they do that. They grow up and have their own kids and you look,
whether
we want them to or not, your own kids do that too. They get up, it's like, my goodness. Yeah. When I think about the first kids that I ever worked with and they're all grown up and I'm sure they're married and have kids and
I have, one of my favorite things that I've gotten to experience was, the year that I was pregnant with my oldest, my students created a scrapbook for me and they all gave me advice on how to take care of a baby. They're second graders, right?
Right.
And, last year, one of those students invited me to her baby shower. And so I was able to photocopy her page out of my scrapbook and include that as part of her gift. And so,
so sweet.
Give her a little bit of her own advice back from eight. But, that I think is again, the reason I'm in education is for that right there, right?
Yeah,
the fact that, we can create these relationships and make a difference in these kids' lives. So.
Thanks again. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for being on the Brighter Together podcast. I appreciate it because we really are.
Right.
Yeah. We really are brighter together, aren't we?
Absolutely.
So, thank you, April.
Thank you.